How do you classify a billion documents? The answer is you can't. The government doesn't have enough time or people using a process that dates back to the Roosevelt administration. And yet the rate of document creation is accelerating. But now the Public Interest Declassification Board has submitted 14 recommendations for updating that classification process. The report takes on some of the most challenging issues around how agencies balance keeping secrets and the public's right to know. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, joins us live in studio with details and analysis of the board's report. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So just a quick word of background. This board was formed some time ago. Tell us about that.
Correct. Now, this board was formed in 2000 under a congressional law, in fact, and then it was updated in the 2004 Intelligence Reform Act. But actually, about 3 years ago, President Obama charged the board with looking at the declassification and classification structure, the process by which this is done, and said, hey, come up with recommendations that you can submit to the White House so we can improve this because it's not working.
So now it's come out with these recommendations. What are some of the major ones?
Well, there's 14 in all. I'm not going to go through them all. We do have a link on federalnewsradio.com that people can look at the whole report. But I think there's a few that would really make major changes to the way the government handles documents. Ambassador Nancy Soderbergh is the chairwoman of the Public Declassification Board and the president of Connect U.S. Fund. She says the recommendation to move from a three-tiered classification system, top secret, secret, and confidential, to a two-tiered one, top secret and just secret, would reduce the complexity of what's classified.
What we're looking at is essentially the confidential and secret being collapsed into one. The unclassified various things are, I think, we're not recommending that we really change. The declassification piece of it is how do you declassify things? So we have recommendations specified into the classification, which is to collapse the top two categories into two instead of three, and then have a series of ways to get information out more rapidly in the public for review. And it's two sides of the same coin. Depending on how you classify it, it's going to determine how it gets reviewed for declassification or not in some cases.
Now, another interesting recommendation is for each agency to have a staff historian, in fact, not just one historian, but a staff of historians, to help pull aside historically important documents and decide how they can be declassified. Soderbergh says this would help prioritize records.
Not everything has to be declassified or is of interest to the public, but rather than having historians search for a needle in a haystack, a contemporaneous set aside of the documents that people recognize will be of historical interest would greatly aid the process of getting things out there.
Now, additionally, the report recommends strengthening the National Declassification Center at NARA, analyzing and testing technology that could automate at least some of these processes, and review what is called formerly restricted data, which mainly focuses on nuclear weapons documents and nuclear weapons secrets that were held from the 40s and 30s and before that.
So why does the classification system need to be improved, Jason? Is it because of just the volume?
I think volume is a big piece, but the other piece of it, it's 72 years old. In fact, it was started by an executive order by President Franklin Roosevelt in 1940, and it was set up at a time when most things were paper-based. The volume of paper wasn't nearly as great as it was today. And let me just give you a sense of that volume. In the 8 years of the Bush administration from 2000 to 2008, there were about 250 million emails that are considered historically valuable. Under the Obama administration, so the same 8 years, 2009 to 2016, experts expect more than a billion emails to have historical value. And basically, there's no way to review, declassify those documents, and that's just email alone. In fact, Soderbergh says the weight of the documents is crushing the system.
If you look at the amount of documents that are produced, simply the difference between the first George Bush administration and the second administration, it's gone from less than 2, what they call terabytes, to about 40 in the space of 3 presidential archives that have gone to their various library. And right now, having, you know, 2 eyes, an individual look at every page, is simply not feasible. So the result, if there's no change, is that the public will not have access to what its government does in any meaningful way.
So the other issue at hand is the overclassification of documents and the amount of time it takes to declassify. The recommendations also focus on how to improve the declassification process. Now, there's evidence and concern that every agency classifies everything because it's just less risky, and that if they're not going to get in trouble on Capitol Hill or in courts, it's just easier just to say, let's just classify it. And it's interesting that this administration has actually asked the board to look at these areas because, in a sense, It's a paradox because the administration has been more aggressive ever in prosecuting leak cases, specifically against journalists and, you know, people leaking to journalists over the last 4 years. Six government officials have been prosecuted over the last 4 years. Now, Soderbergh says the board understands there is information that needs to remain classified. They're not saying just declassify everything. Most of the board members have worked in the national security arena, so they understand the need to keep it. But at the same time, there's some things that also can be declassified. And I think that's part of the reason why the board is recommending the innovative uses of technology to help automate the classification and declassification process where possible. Obviously, humans are still necessary, but the hope is that technology here.
And it certainly is going to have to. We're speaking with Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. So, Jason, are there any agencies that are doing this well?
Actually, there are several that are doing a decent job. And surprisingly, I think one of them is the CIA. Marty Faga is a board member and former head of the National Reconnaissance Office.
CIA is at the lead of the pack in a number of ways. One of the things we talk about in here a lot is metadata, so that you could quickly find data both during its useful lifetime and also for declassification. That's already being applied, and I think that's actually, at least intelligence community-wide, if not broader. CIA is experimenting with technology to enhance declassification, make it more accurate, make it faster. And they're not alone. All the declassification managers we meet are really enthusiastic about what they're trying to do, and all of them have limited funds, but they generally have pretty good executive support above them.
So the Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Agency also is using technology innovatively. They're using technology for such things as advanced language processing and other information handling techniques. John Fitzpatrick is the director of the Information Security Oversight Office. He says that same technology could be used for classifying and declassifying information.
All right, so there's a raft of 14 recommendations, Jason. What happens to them next? Do they just go the way of all these kinds of boards and commissions, or do you think there's some real interest to enact them?
Well, I think that the White House has been involved in this process. The recommendations went to the president November 27th, and I think part of the conversations over the past 2 years has been with some of the big hitters, you know, DOD, State Department, Energy Department, and the White House, as well as, you know, researchers and technologists and good government groups. So there's not a lot that's surprising here to the White House, but there's been a lot of interest over the years. Now, the board hopes the White House will create an interagency group to implement the recommendations. Soderbergh says the biggest challenge will be the culture change of 70 years of doing classification and declassification.
Government, by its very nature, is risk-averse. When in doubt, classified at the higher level. And, you know, they end up protecting their own interests, which is to keep the information classified. And there's very few people in the U.S. government advocating for the public's right to access this. And that's why you need strong presidential leadership to do this. President Obama has appointed this board knowing that you need outside agitators to look at this. And the board is made up of people who are very committed to balancing the two. We've all served in government in some fashion and dealt with classified information and understand the need to have secrets, but we're all convinced there could be a much better balance for the public.
Now, one thing to keep in mind is the government has tried to change the declassification system a few other times, and it really got a lot of traction, in part because the board believes that the lack of White House support. So getting that White House support this time around is so key, and that's why this interagency group led by the White House is so important. Reactions to the recommendations has been fairly positive. NARA held an event last week to announce the recommendations, and one records manager from the Air Force spoke up and did express some concern over the changes. He says that specifically there's records and then there's documents. He says there's a lot of redundancy around records, so the new classification of documents is actually fairly small. It's just year after year those same records have been classified or declassified. The Constitution Project says they're encouraged by the recommendations, but their concern is how to move out of that zero-risk culture. This goes back to the idea of the culture change from 70 years, is any risk is too much risk for the government, so they should just classify everything. So there's a lot of big hurdles still to overcome.
Sometimes I wonder what 70 years later could possibly have any impact if it was declassified, unless it's plans for a weapon system that's still existent or something.
And I think that's part of it, is you kind of, there's some head scratchers here. I mean, even stuff that was came up, you know, in the Nixon era or the Lyndon Johnson, that they're still having trouble pushing out and getting declassified because, well, what if? And it's always that fear of the unknown. And it goes back to that zero risk culture of well, it's better just to classify it because otherwise that way we won't get in trouble and there won't be any harm.
Better safe than sorry.
Well, yeah, everybody connected with policy in those days. from the Nixon administration is very few of them are still alive anymore. I mean, there are people that work in the administration that are alive, but they wouldn't have had major policy input. It's a long time ago.
And the issues are different. I mean, the Cold War is over. China and Russia and the so-called enemies back from the 70s and 60s and beyond, they're not so much enemies anymore. And then globalization, everything's changed. So I agree. I mean, I think the board agrees that they're saying, come on, we got to do a better job. There's got to be a better way to do this.